You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
But here's what we know. We know that Hunter Biden's business partner, who's also on the board of Burisma, is now a convicted felon. We know that Devin Archer met with Joe Biden 2 months after the Revolutionary Dignity in Ukraine, 5 days before Joe Biden made a trip to Ukraine, was named the point person for the Obama administration. A day after that, Devin Archer is named to the board of Burisma, that corrupt oil and gas company. A few weeks later, Hunter Biden is named to the board. They collected about $4 million from Burisma. So it's just a timeline. What happened in just a month shows corruption is sleazy. Again, I don't know what's legal, what's illegal, but at a minimum, it is incredibly sleazy. And I think you have to assume, as Tony Bobulinski told us, that Joe Biden as president is compromised.
April the 4th, 2022. Again, another report, allegation that Joe Biden is compromised by his son's dealings with Burisma, Ukraine, Russia, China. That is Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson, Republican, over the weekend on one of the news programs. Look, this Hunter Biden story, once 17 months after it was first exposed by the New York Post, the New York Times, the Washington Post, even CNN, and the rest have suddenly realized, the laptop's real, the information's real. But during all that time, we all knew it was real, or certainly suspected it. And it was allowed to grow in the dark. Because they were focusing more on getting rid of Donald Trump. And if that information had come out in advance of the election, even with some questionable activities that took place involving Democrats, absentee ballots, counts, and so forth, with the questionable election, this might have been enough to swing even past those. You're willing to elect a man whose son is making deals with Communist China, Communist Russia, and is indicating daddy is on the take, daddy's getting some of the money, but it grew in the dark. Mushrooms and nasty things grow in the dark. They thrive in darkness, like Hunter Biden's deals and Daddy Joe's connections. We're going to get more information on that coming up over the next 2 hours. We have a full load of material on a Monday. I love Mondays. Glad to be back on the air with you. But I tell you, every day I walk in, I thought, oh, my God, where do I start? And then once I start, how to complete that, how do I get to something else? Because, as you know, we change gears a lot on this program. We try to touch almost anything and everything that has suddenly surfaced, trending, and some that might be obscure, but some that deserve closer attention. And one of them that is going to be right in your face, if not in your community, if not in your backyard, is what Biden and the White House are going ahead and doing by ending Title 42. Now, you will listen to the Homeland Security Secretary and say, well, we're not health experts. We're relying on the Health Department, CDC, and they say it's okay to relax Title 42 now because the COVID pandemic is all over. It's all over. I told you it'd be over before November. We all knew that. And without Title 42, then they will not stop anyone from coming across. The border is wide open. And here's the other kick to this. Biden is basically going to help the Chinese take over America by importing fentanyl. Texas Governor Greg Abbott calling this decision in Title 42 reckless, an unmitigated disaster for national security. I want you also to keep in mind, the CDC said last week, we're thinking about ending it, we're not sure when. The White House then announced it's going to be May 23rd, we're going to do it anyway. So now suddenly the CDC says, yep, May 23rd. Are they following the science or are they following the directions from the White House? And, of course, we had today the beginning of the speeches on Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson's Supreme Court nomination. Senator Chair Dick Durbin of Illinois says these Republicans have been nastier than they should have been, some of them. And then also a piece I want to share with you. Some transgenders are very upset with all the focus on transgenders and say, we don't want to be part of this ideology. We want to just live our lives. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone. And Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issues solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
You should have closed your windows and got another dog. You should have chained up all the doors and switched up all the locks. And how many times have I prayed?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I was here Friday. This is my third day here on the border. I was here Friday evening when they put together what they call the evening muster. The leadership came out to tell the Border Patrol agents that indeed the President of the United States decided to lift the Title 42. That's the last tool that they have left to send people back to, you know, back across the border. There was just a complete cloud of depression that fell over the room, Maria. That's the last tool left. They're already overwhelmed. They've got capacity to process perhaps 5,000 coming across the border. They're now getting 7,000. This could go to 15, 18,000 overnight. In fact, what the president has done is send an invitation to come to America. May 23rd, the border's going to collapse. There's going to be a tidal wave coming across this border. It's going to be a mass of drugs coming across the border, illegal activity, and there's going to be a tidal wave of humanity coming across the border at the same time. This is going to be a disaster of epic proportions.
Disaster of epic proportions. That is Senator Bill Hagerty, Republican of Tennessee, appearing Sunday on Fox with Maria Bartiromo. He said, I was here Friday. I watched all this as it began to unfold. I'm already listening to border agents tell me how tough the job is and how many they're trying to handle and process. And now comes word, and we knew it was coming, that May 23rd, yep, the CDC Title 42 that was put in place by the CDC during COVID, Trump used it, Biden has used it sparingly to prevent some from coming into the country because they might be COVID carriers. Supposedly, the Biden administration is doing all the checking and testing and giving shots, but the stories coming from the Biden administration on what they were doing for illegals coming across, confusing at the least, lying at probably the best description. They were not all being checked. They weren't being vetted. We know that for sure. They're just letting them come on in. And the Border Patrol agents were doing the best they could. And the numbers have excelled any number previously held. Close to 2 million during this Biden administration so far. 2 million illegals coming in. And now, dropping 42, as Senator Bill Hagerty is saying, that is just going to make things worse. I mean, you think our agents are already overworked and trying to do their job? How about this? How about you consider, just think for yourself for a moment. You are a member of the Border Patrol. Your job is to secure our border. And, of course, if illegals come across, you treat them humanely. But we're not an open border for anyone to come get a job or a better life. We know that would probably help them. But we're there to help them if they are seeking true asylum. Now, the refugees that we bring in from Ukraine, they are true asylum seekers. They are entitled to be here. That's part of our immigration plan. Some from Afghanistan we brought in, entitled to be here, because if they stayed, the Taliban would kill them. And yet we left probably 80-plus percent of those Afghans who helped us, we left them behind. And still uncounted number of Americans are behind Taliban lines. But the CDC is indicating, well, we're going to evaluate when we can drop this. Then they got the notice from the White House via press releases and everything else that May 23rd, the White House is just going to go ahead and move forward. Well, now you have to decide who's going to make the first jump. Who's going to be the first one to put something down in concrete? So when you go by and it dries, you see the CDC made it happen, or the Biden White House did, or the White House simply followed the CDC. Here comes Mealy Mouth. This guy, I mean, to be a director of Homeland Security, believe me, I'll go for some of the B-grade actors in some of those action movies. At least they're tough-sounding and ballsy-sounding, and by God, we're not going to allow it. We're going to protect our border. But here comes Mealy Mouth, Director Mayorkas, and when he explains, we the White House, we didn't do anything except follow the guidance of the CDC.
CDC, in its expertise, we are not public health experts, in its public health expertise, decided that the use of Title 42 should come to an end when we in the Department of Homeland Security have ramped up our public health protocols sufficient to address migration at the southern border.
Does that answer anything for you? No, it doesn't. The CDC is going to decide it's okay to drop it when we have ramped up our protocols. I thought you had all your protocols in effect for all this time. Why did we have to wait to May 23rd? It's more a little bit of hand jive, believe me. Try to find the peanut under the shell as we move three shells around. Decide which one it's under. Whoop, you're wrong. Want to try it again? Whoop, you're wrong again. Whoop. We'll get a shell in there to find it, and then see, it can be found. You want to try it again? Put more money down the table. Let's do it. But you've got, in this case, CDC Director Mayorkas, again, giving cover to the White House. If I had a chance to question him, I never will, because after my Obama interview, they're never going to let me near the White House if a Democrat's in there. I would ask, how do you sleep at night? How do you possibly sleep at night knowing what you're doing to this country with a plan that just basically opens it up for anyone and everyone to come across, and you keep making excuses, and when you do get caught in it, you try to blame it on someone else. You want to step around and say, well, it's, you know, the CDC, makes these decisions, not us. We're only doing what the CDC says we can once we establish our protocol. I watched him on one of the network programs. I didn't have time to pull it, but he gets asked two or three different times. Actually, I'm going to give credit to Jake Tapper. I think Jake Tapper was the one asking the question, asking him repeatedly, at least twice, and kind of weak runs, but at least he did. Well, aren't you worried? Isn't it going to cause a problem? And so, oh, we got everything in place. We're going to handle things. You just heard from Senator Hagerty how bad it is when he was there the other night when it was announced this was going to happen. Well, we're not done with this story. You're not fully aware of some other things that are going to take place. But let me give you more reaction first. Texas Governor Abbott quickly called Biden's decision to end the Title 42 reckless. He said ending Title 42 expulsions will signal to cartels and migrants alike that our southern border is now wide open, inciting even more violence, more trafficking, more lawlessness. All that in part of a written statement he sent the Biden administration, as if they really bothered to read it up there. I don't know if they have anyone who can read at this point. Goes on to say, President Biden clearly has no intention to secure the border by faithfully executing Congress's command to detain and deport illegal immigrants. Then he said also in his statement, the Biden decision will, quote, only further endanger Texans. The state of Texas must take even more unprecedented actions to keep our community safe by using any and all constitutional powers to protect its own territory. Now, I know a lot of folks north of Texas, well, Oklahoma, yeah, we'll probably see some. We might see some a little higher up somewhere, but the northern states are probably right there with Canada. They're not that worried so far. They have reason to be. They have reason to be because illegals have been found going across the Canadian border, who made their way all the way from our southern border, and they realized we better go ahead and get on out of the U.S. of A. because they might track us down, so they tried to get into Canada. And Canada will seize them and deport them. Which country you think is doing a better job of securing its border? So again, let's put it in perspective of what we're seeing with this Title 42 being dropped and what you can see happen. And I said in your own backyard, and if you think I'm kidding, you look around your neighborhood. The problem is where these illegals show up. We're not talking about legal migration. We're talking about illegal migration. When they show up, resources are overwhelmed in any community. That's happened along the border towns, and when they've had help from Catholic churches and other groups coming together trying to help the migrants, they're starving and thirsty and things. Whether or not they are legal or illegal, you care for humanity. But our law says you must go back unless you have a claim for asylum, and then under the Trump Stay in Mexico policy, you stay in Mexico until we adjudicate it. This administration said, okay, go free to roam about the country and come back here in 60 or 90 days, and we'll talk about your status here. You know how many come back. If you guess 20% come back, you have basically more than doubled how many really show up. No, you got to go find them again by some means or fashion. Again, let's go back to Senator Bill Hagerty, Republican of Tennessee, talking about what's going to happen, and the illegal, you think this word is not ripping through the southern states of Mexico and then the Central American countries and then South America and from all over the world? If we can just get to Mexico, we can get into the U.S. of A.
They're not going to be able to protect the border at all. They're going to be spending the entirety of their time processing paperwork. Because without Title 42, which can be handled in about 15 minutes, they have to go through a different process that takes an hour and 15 minutes. It'll take five times as many border agents to process the number of people coming across. It's going to be all paperwork, no border protection. the border is going to be open. I'm sure that the Chinese Communist Party is ramping up fentanyl production right now in China. They're shipping it to Mexico. The Mexican cartels are ramping up. There's going to be another flood of illegal drugs coming across the border, particularly after the 23rd of May. We're losing kids to overdoses every night and every day. The mayor of one of our smallest counties, Cock County, told me that she had 27 deaths due to overdoses in her county last year, 23 of them from fentanyl. The Chinese Communist Party's fingerprint is on every one of those deaths in my home state, Maria. They are waging war on us. Maria, I was on the phone to White House staff during the G20 conference in Buenos Aires when President Trump directly told President Xi he should not send fentanyl to the United States. President Trump demanded it. President Xi agreed. But President Xi never agreed to stop sending it to Mexico. And when Joe Biden decided to collapse the border here, basically he's opened the door for the Chinese Communist Party to again begin to wage war on America's youth, and that's exactly what's happening.
Exactly what's happening. Those in the St. Louis area probably recall a story that happened maybe 3-plus weeks ago now. Within a 2-block area of a street called Lindell Avenue, there were 10 to 15 drug overdoses, fentanyl-laced cocaine being sold by one person to those who came to the door to buy their get their normal fix, and at least 6 to 7 deaths all linked to that same batch. The woman arrested said, well, I wasn't trying to kill anybody. Well, of course you weren't, but you're selling illegal drugs, and the Chinese are quick to get it to Mexico. Mexico wraps it up with their fentanyl, with their cocaine, gets it in the U.S. of A. That's what he's saying. They're going to kill more and more Americans, and Biden's making it happen. But stand by. Here comes Hillary Clinton. Things aren't so bad.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
From my perspective, President Biden is doing a very good job. I think that his handling of Ukraine, passing the American Rescue Package, the huge infrastructure package. I'm not quite sure what the disconnect is between the accomplishments of the administration and this Congress and the understanding of what's been done and the impact it will have on the American public and some of the, you know, the polling and the ongoing hand-wringing.
Hillary Clinton still trying to make herself relevant. In my opinion, well, he's doing a great job, despite the polls and surveys. Let me run down one of them for you. You tell me where you see such a great job. Because she was on one of the state-controlled media outlets, and they were not going to get nasty with Hillary. Come on. Come on, man. Come on, man. Here's a Harvard-Harris survey showing his approval rating dropping 18 points over the last year, okay? And he doesn't fare when you get down to specific issues. He doesn't do very well either. In fact, when it comes to handling of the economy, he's down 60%. Let me correct that. 60% approve of his handling of the economy. I'd like to see those people. That was in March of 2021. Now that figure is down to just 35% approve of his handling. Fighting terrorism. In March 2021, 59% approved of how Joe Biden was handling terrorism. 59%. March 2022, 36%. 23% drop. Immigration. March 2021, 48% approved of what he was doing. That was after he had signed and canceled the Trump executive order, started catch and release again, stopped the stay in Mexico policy, and basically said, border's open, Although we use Title 42 as needed. March 2021, 48% approved of his immigration efforts. March 2022, this year, 34%. I'm surprised still 34% are still accepting what he's doing with immigration, especially after what we just told you in the previous segment of how bad it's going to get. Foreign Affairs, March 2021, 56% thought this is the man. This is the man that can represent the U.S. of A. and lead the U.S. of A. That was in 2021, 56%. This March, 38%. Administering the government, March 2021, 60% thought he was doing a good job administering the government. March 2022, 35%. I wonder if that includes managing BP Harris as well. How about his reaction to coronavirus? Well, in March 2021, 71% thought he's doing everything right. 71%. In March of 2022, 42%. Dealing with violence and crime in the country. March 2021, 55% thought Joe Biden and the Democrats were doing everything they should be doing with violence and crime in the country. Now we're seeing only 34% accept that. And again, those 34% are absolutely out to lunch if they don't see the crime that's happening on a daily basis. Everything from just simply walking into Walgreens, picking up what you want, walking out, no charges, or breaking into luxury stores, running out the merchandise, no charges, shooting and killing, maybe a charge, and quick bail and release, and child porn with a Judge Jackson about to be made a Supreme Court justice, not a big deal. I mean, because some child porn collections might just be folks got to looking on the internet. They're just lookers. They didn't mean anything. They're going to be a very severe awakening. Coming up, of course, Walt Disney has called out the DeSantis bill in Florida. They call it the Don't Say Gay, No, Don't Say Gay. Remember, it's a lie. But you're going to hear from a producer with Disney as to what they are trying to do behind the scenes to your children. Stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Many car dealers are quick to sell you a car, but Ackerman Toyota knows that's just the beginning of your relationship. When it comes time for routine or special service work, others might be too busy. Not Ackerman Toyota. Hours and days to fit your schedule. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
There's no place to hide down here. No place to hide down here. Went to the rock, got on my knees. I heard the angels weep for me. No place to hide down here.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Yeah, I've had the privilege of working with the Moon Girl team for the last 2 years, and they've been really open to exploring queer stories. And so it's not just a numbers game of how many LGBTQ plus characters you have. We got the further, the more centered a story is on a character, the more nuanced you get to get into their story. And especially with like trans characters, you can't see if someone is trans. There's not one way to look trans. And so kind of the only way to have these like canonical trans characters, canonical asexual characters, canonical bisexual characters is to give them stories where they can like be their whole selves.
Isn't that sweet? It's so nice. Tell me about programming. Walt Disney programming. For children. That is Alan March, who works on Disney Marvel's Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur. Speaking in a recent Disney internal meeting and how we're going to focus on Reimagine Tomorrow. That's Disney's new theme, Reimagine Tomorrow. Initiative dedicated to highlighting unrepresented voices. In some of that video, the meeting was obtained by journalist Christopher Rufo, posting it to social media. And as you heard him say, we're really open to exploring queer stories. I want to emphasize transgender and queer characters to create more authentic, contemporary New York setting for the series, including all transgenders. And, of course, it would air on the Disney Channel. Now, you would think, my God, you would think, you set your children down in front of a TV and we're going to watch Disney. And Twinkie comes out and waves the wand and we're off to the land of magic. And transgender pushing sex change in front of children, encouraging them. Reimagine yourself. Well, you know, of course, Disney made a big, the CEO came out and made a big statement against the recently passed parental rights bill in Florida and said it was a hate bill. So has Biden. And Biden the other day said, and I'll repeat it again, he said, transgenders are created in the image of God. And I say, no, they are not. I will not accept that. You can do a lot of things and rewording of the Bible, but they're not created in the image of God. Man and woman are created in the image of God. But when man decides to become a woman on his own because he wasn't born a woman or the other way around, that's not the image of God. I will put my foot down on that each and every time and yell it from the rooftop. I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take any more. We're not going to go down that line. Joe Biden. But I want to share something with you from the American Purpose magazine publication, also online, mission basically protecting American liberty and leadership, and the title of a piece written by Jonathan Rauch. And my boots on the ground correspondent in Chicago pulled this up, gave it to my attention. I think it's certainly worthy. In fact, I had a detailed discussion with someone over the weekend about it. It's titled Walking the Transgender Movement Away from the Extremists. Did you hear that? Walking the transgender movement away from the extremist. And says that today, it begins this way. Today's radical gender ideologies are harming the transgender community the same way left-leaning activists harmed the gay and lesbian rights movement in the early 90s. He goes on to write about my friend called Giselle, the kind of person whose views these days are routinely denounced in elite circles as transphobic. She favors reasonable accommodations for trans people in areas like sports and bathrooms, but she rejects what she calls the biological silliness of denying gender binary. She thinks it's biologically silly for you to think that you can have puberty blockers or surgery and suddenly you're not the gender you were born. And she is transgender. And she also thinks trans women are different from natal women and should be called trans women, not women. In other words, don't call them a woman. They're not a woman. She's acknowledging that. She said the distinction is important in fields where sex matters, such as medicine. It also recognizes the unique challenges of being transgender. I want discrimination, she said, in the sense of making precise distinctions. And then she adds, again, this is a transgender by the name of Giselle, talking to her friend who's writing this for American Purpose. She said, the trans women or women thing drives me batty beyond the biological silliness. It suggests that being trans somehow isn't legit. It isn't, or rather, it's a true form of erasure. He says, you might think of her as a transphobe. No, she's a trans woman. The gender ideologies who claim to speak for transgender equality do not speak for her. She said, I lament that a small number of activists want to use these issues in search of a larger social political agenda. Their fight is not my fight. I do not wish to be a tool of revolutionaries or a target for reactionaries. I detest their wish to tear the fabric of Western liberalism to shreds. Now, obviously, this is a liberal woman. But she said, do not put me in all that transgender movement you guys are doing, because you're harming the transgender community. And you're not a woman just because you have sex or surgery, I should say. And you're not a man just because you had blockers and surgery. You're not. You're still either a woman or a man. And I don't want to be caught up in all that nonsense. And here's an important point that the writer adds to the article. With all the noise that you saw focused on Florida, and from all over the nation, the cries were, that's a hate bill, a hate bill, a hate bill. And the fact is, it's a parental bill to protect their children. K through third grade level students are not to be taught about transgender. You wouldn't teach them about sex at that point. You shouldn't. If they're going to get it, let them get it at home. They may get it in the streets, I understand, but not as part of a course curriculum in a school. And then if you are going to have such discussions going into other grades, they must be age appropriate. Parents must be aware of it. So what is the push? What is the push of all this transgender effort? Who's really behind it? How big is it? I mean, if you believe everything they keep shoving down your throat, it's the most massive thing since black versus white. Tain't so. A Gallup survey in 2020. Now, granted, that's a couple years ago. And there are probably more now, but they have been classified maybe because it became trendy, or maybe they truly wanted to make a change, or truly maybe they were concerned, and now all of this has raised questions for them. And for them, I feel sorry. I'm not passing judgment if that's where you're totally messed up. I think you need help, but I don't think you should need to be pushing it on children who are most vulnerable to make a dramatic change to their life. When last week I told you the story of some transgenders upset that a mother allowed her 14-year-old daughter to get her nose redone cosmetically because she felt it looked bad. Now she's an older woman, 23, 24, saying, I wish I had my nose back. It was part of my culture, my heritage. A nose is a small thing compared to gender transition, right? But according to Gallup in 2020, 0.6% of Americans identified as transgender. 0.6%. In other words, the writer says, here's something I've come to think is true. Unless more trans people than Donnelly, the one he's interviewing, find their voices and rescue their movement from the extremists who have captured it, the future of LGBT equality will be in jeopardy. He said, in saying this, I lay my own cards on the table. I'm a 61-year-old homosexual male. I'm an outsider of the trans movement. Until recently, like most gay Americans, I've seen the trans movement as an extension of our own. I do believe trans people deserve equality in all of its meaningful respects. But he said, I'm also seeing a disturbing parallel. We'll take a break when we come back. More on what he sees is coming that's very disturbing on all levels. Please stand by. If you want to impress someone, I personally recommend Cafe Napoli, Clayton, our town and country, or St. Charles. Cafe Napoli offers private rooms for up to 50 guests. So plan a corporate party, an anniversary party, a birthday party, a party party. Cafe Napoli has a location near you, Clayton, town and country, and St. Charles, where Cafe Napoli 3 is now serving lunch or Sunday brunch, only at Cafe Napoli 3 in St. Charles.
Oh, smokestack lightning.
Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We're picking up on an article written for American Purpose publication, Walking the Transgender Movement Away from the Extremists, by Jonathan Rauch, who admits that he's a man in his 60s, homosexual male. He said, but what we're seeing happen now is what I saw happen in the 90s, a generation ago. The gay and lesbian rights movement, as it was then called, came under the sway of left-leaning activists with their own agenda. They wanted as little as possible to do with things like marriage, the military, the elevated cultural transgression, imposed integration into mainstream society, the important assortative unrelated causes like abortion rights. To be authentically gay, in their view, is to be left-wing and preferably radical. He said, he goes on to say, a loose collection of gay and lesbian conservatives, libertarian centrists, watching with growing concern. These activists are dangerously misguided about both America and the place for gay people. He said it was shown by 2000, a fourth of gay voters, 25% of the gay voters voted for George W. Bush. I told you previously, many gays I know are Republican, conservative more, certainly more independent. They're not far, far left agenda leftist. He goes on to say, but what we're having now is that they want to push everything together and make claims that just don't work. He said the political play is this. Much as the left sought to present itself as a take-it-or-leave-it alternative to the homophobic, radical gender ideology insists that the choice is between itself and vicious transphobia. Both radicalisms target centrism and compromise for extinction. In other words, you can be gay and still be a conservative. You can be a conservative and accept that it may not be your lifestyle, it may be contrary to your religious belief, but gay people do have rights that should be accepted. He goes on to write, though, telling tomboyish girls or effeminate boys that they should identify as the opposite sex embraces all of the hoary gender stereotypes that made generations of gay and lesbians and many straight people miserable. He said, worse, it can cater to pressure not to be gay. Back in the closet. He doesn't say that, I do. He said, insisting that it's always hateful to draw distinctions based on biological sex in sports, prisons, medical training, strikes most of the public as nutty, unfair, and dangerous. The backlash that is forming will end up harming trans people, gay and lesbians, and everyone else who hopes for candor and compromise. Radicalism makes the only path forward. Social negotiation tailored to diverse situations unattainable. Said what's happening already is decoupling trans civil rights from radical gender ideology by recognizing they are not all the same. You can support the former, reject the latter. This again, Jonathan Rauch, Brookings Institute, 61 years old, male man, wrote a book titled Gay Marriage, Why It's Good for Gays, Good for Straights, Good for America. And he also wrote, 2013, My 25 Years Without a Soul, denying he was gay at the time. I've said it before to you that I have gay friends, I care about them, I love them, and they mean a lot to me. They're friends. I'm not judging them by what they're doing. It's not my lifestyle, it's their lifestyle. But unless you're using it to prey on children, and so-called straight men often are the most known pedophiles, but they have rights. They should have rights of protection, things of that nature when it comes to what you would get under a marriage, protecting property, the right to be the person to visit the one in the hospital if only one is allowed. You don't have to accept their lifestyle, their standard, or any of it to still accept that they do have rights. And as I said, many of the ones I know are actually They're pretty conservative in most views. And they're very much like this writer, this article. They see that what they originally trying to achieve being hijacked, as he points out in the very beginning, the same thing happened with feminist groups and so forth. The cry out over the weekend, again, with all the focus on Leah Thomas and all these other things going on, where are the women? Where is the woman's movement? Where are women? Have women been put below everything and everyone else? If you judge the way we're doing things now, I'd say yes. But then, of course, we have a Supreme Court justice nominee who cannot define the word woman. And speeches are underway right now to move her closer to confirmation. In the next hour, we'll get into that. And we're also going to dig deeper into the Hunter Biden laptop story and how much evidence exists, how much may still be out there, and how the state-controlled media, while acknowledging it, still wants to turn the corner and go another direction. Stand by, please.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.